The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition. Featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We like to think of Intelligent Medicine as one of the best-kept secrets about health on radio today because, well, we look behind the stories that make big splashy headlines but sometimes are dumbed down for popular consumption. We're going to do that with some of the most important health stories of the day today. And we will take your questions. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we got lots to talk about. First of all, it was really a blockbuster week for our Intelligent Medicine podcasts. The vast majority of you are probably aware that we are also available via podcast. And in addition to our live broadcast on weekends, we podcast interviews and discussions and clinical focus editions of Intelligent Medicine where I focus in on specific medical conditions, supplements, and so on. And you can check that all out at drhoffman.com. This week, we had some real blockbuster interviews. Two best-selling authors, Dr. David Perlmutter, who just came up with a new book entitled Brain Maker. Of course, he's known to you as the author of Grain Brain, a very influential integrative neurologist. Very, very informative, wide-ranging interview with Dr. P. And also, Suzanne Summers joined us to discuss her latest book, which is entitled Toxic. It's a play on words. It's T-O-X-sick. And the book has to do with how environmental toxins make us sick. It deals with detoxification. It talks about the harmful effects of mold exposure from the personal experiences of Suzanne. She and her family underwent exposure to mold and various types of environmental toxins and how, in an innovative way, they recovered their wellness. So check out those two podcasts. They're excellent. All right. Tea is a health drink. Obviously, it's got a lot of beneficial compounds, polyphenols like EGCG. And my grandfather, who lived to 101, God bless him, he used to always enjoy his nice glass tea. He would sit there, and it had to be in a glass, not in a cup, in a cylindrical glass. And he would put in some rock sugar, crystal sugar, and lemon, and he enjoyed his tea that way. That's the way he grew up drinking tea in Eastern Europe. But you can overdose on tea, according to a new case study of an individual who came to harm from excess tea drinking. And, you know, a lot of people are turning to iced tea as an alternative to soda. Unfortunately, sometimes that iced tea is sweetened with tons of sugar, so it's not much better. But at least tea has some beneficial compounds. Soda doesn't have anything beneficial in it. But you can overdose on tea. Doctors trace an Arkansas man's kidney failure to an unusual cause, his habit of drinking literally a gallon of iced tea every day. He said he drank about 16 8-ounce cups of iced tea daily. And, you know, doctors said that they looked at all the possibilities, but it was the tea that was the culprit. Black tea has a chemical known to cause kidney stones called oxalic acid or oxalate, and it's responsible for calcium oxalate stones, but too much of it can literally jam up your kidneys and cause them to fail. The unidentified man went to the hospital last May with nausea, weakness, fatigue, and body aches, and doctors did a blood test. They found his kidneys were shutting down, and the reason for it was an excess of oxalate. He recovered partially recovered, actually. He has probably going to require dialysis for the rest of his life. He really blew out his kidneys. Black tea is also found to a high degree in spinach, rhubarb, certain nuts, wheat bran, and chocolate. And this is a very unusual case. Usually too much oxalate can lead to kidney stones, but not necessarily a kidney shutdown. But hey, 16 8-ounce cups of iced tea every day. Federal studies suggest that on the average U.S. adults drink a total of 10 or 11 cups of beverages per day. That's water, coffee, and all other liquids combined. So if you diversify your liquid portfolio, you're not likely to get this. Another little detail that the doctors didn't factor in, this gentleman who had diabetes, and it's not clear if he drank tons of sugar-sweetened iced tea, which could compound his problems. Long-term exposure to high blood sugar can damage the kidneys, make them more vulnerable, perhaps, to the effects of the high oxalic acid exposure from all that tea. 888-302-3684 is our number. And his study, you know, a lot of people, if you ask what dietary component is most likely to cause colon cancer, the stereotypical answer is too much meat, too much animal protein, too much meat, become a vegetarian. And indeed, when I was, even before I went to medical school, I had a job in a hospital. You know, you work in a hospital, you earn some brownie points. And they posted in those days a mimeograph on the wall. That's how far long ago it was. Which was an invitation to participate in a study where you'd submit a stool sample to see if you had the type of bacteria in your intestinal tract that would promote colon cancer. And the object of the recruitment was to find some meat eaters, but also to find some vegetarians. At the time, I was a vegan vegetarian. No morsel of animal protein would cross my lips. So I signed up for the study and I got, what, you know, $30 or something. Who knows? A lot of money in those days, especially for a starving student. So this is an idea that has been perpetuated for a long time. Meat is the culprit. Meat is the culprit. Eat, no meat, and you'll reduce your risk of colon cancer. Well, here's a very interesting study. Obviously, the Western diet has something to do with colon cancer, because colon cancer is virtually unknown in parts of the world where they follow a traditional diet. Parts of Africa, for example. Dennis Burkitt went to Africa in the 1960s and discovered that there was no diverticulitis. There was no colon cancer. The diet had not yet changed towards a Western diet with lots of refined foods and possibly more animal protein. It wasn't clear what the cause was, but a lot of people invoke vegetarian diet as the solution. All right, so in an initial study, it was found that a typical Western diet with high intakes of meat, fat, refined grains, and sugar desserts, these individuals were three times more likely to have a cancer recurrence. These are people who already had colon cancer than those whose diets were least Western. So, my goodness, it calls for, you get colon cancer and you're a survivor, it calls for diet change. But what is the key component in that Western diet? Is it the high intake of meat? Is it the fat? Is it the refined grains? Is it the sugar? What's going on? So they did a second study, and they looked at a group of colon cancer survivors who'd undergone surgery, and they determined, various components of their diet. And what they found was the participants who had the highest dietary levels of glycemic load, which is entirely related to carbohydrates, nothing to do with protein and fat, high glycemic load. In other words, sugar, refined carbohydrates, bread, refined flour, white bread, white rice, even juices can contribute to a high glycemic load. And those with the highest carbohydrate intakes had, get this, an 80% increased risk of colon cancer recurrence or death. Remember, these are individuals who'd already had a brush with colon cancer. The higher their glycemic load, the higher their carbohydrate intake, the higher their risk of colon cancer by a long shot. And so what's going on there? We theorize, the researchers say, that a high glycemic load may stimulate the body's production of insulin. Insulin may increase the proliferation of cells and cause cancer to grow and metastasize from its original site. So, for colon cancer survivors, this calls for a low-carbohydrate diet. And, okay, here's another study, interesting study. They took inhabitants of South Africa, and these were individuals who already had polyps, and they switched diets. The ones who were already on a traditional African diet went on a diet similar to the standard American diet, lots of fat, meat, lots of refined flour and sugar. And the ones who were already on that type of diet went on an African diet, lots of fiber, some animal protein, but less animal protein. What they found was there was a major change in the inflammatory markers in their intestinal tracts that were associated with cancer risk. And the reason for the changes in cancer risk was the way in which the bacteria in the gut, known as the microbiome, adapted to the new diet. In the American diet group, the researchers found that switching to an African diet led to an increase in the production of butyrate, which is a short-chain fatty acid that's protective to the cells in the intestinal tract. So how are you going to get butyrate? You got to eat fiber, fiber, fiber. Fiber is the key. And by the way, you can eat animal protein, but you got it. The problem with a lot of Western diets, too much animal protein, no fiber. You eat lots of fiber, and you can possibly mitigate the effects of fat and protein in your diet. It's more about having a low glycemic index diet, avoiding sugar, and having lots of fiber when it comes to colon cancer prevention. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine.
Why Kyolic? Well, all the numbers add up for your health. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement for heart health available on the market today. For over 40 years, Kyolic has been the leading garlic supplement in America. Kyolic is 50 times richer than raw garlic in active beneficial compounds. Kyolic is organically grown and aged for 20 months to enhance its nutritional value, creating beneficial compounds not found in fresh or powdered garlic, but only in aged garlic extract from our farms in California. For maximum purity. Over 750 scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA prove that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is working to enhance your body's immune function, protect your cells from free radical damage, and reduce the widest range of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Call today at 1-800-421-2998 for your free sample of Kyolic.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For years, you've relied on me to tell you about the latest and most effective natural products on the market. Leading the organic pest control industry, Cedarside has been creating natural solutions to insect infestations for nearly 20 years. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Order some today. Go to cedarside.com and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping or call 800-842-1464 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The only pest control you'll ever need. Use Mother Nature to fight Mother Nature. Go online to cedarside.com or call now 800-842-1464. Cedarside Original for people, pets, and premises. Cedarside.com has the safe and effective pest control products you need for your family, pets, home, and yard.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684, should you care to call in. And it's Kentucky Derby weekend. And a lot of excitement about all these sports events, basketball, play hockey, basketball, baseball, Mayweather, Pacquiao. So in the spirit of the Kentucky Derby, let me provide you with some of the top finishers for most expensive drugs on the Medicare formulary. And you'll be kind of surprised at the amount expended for these various medications. Coming in at number five, Cymbalta. Cymbalta is a psych med. It's a powerful psychiatric med, useful for treatment of depression, but also with at least the promise that it might relieve bodily aches and pains. 1 million people taking it, and this is Medicare alone, so there are other people in private insurance taking it, for a total cost to our U.S. government taxpayers $2 billion annually. Okay, coming in at number four, Abilify, another powerful psychiatric drug, sometimes used for what's called atypical depression, depression that doesn't respond to ordinary meds. 400,000 people taking it. Total cost $2.1 billion. And coming in at show, we're going to give you win, place, and show. Number three, Crestor, with 1.7 million people taking it. A grand total of $2.2 billion expended on Crestor. It's a lot of people taking Crestor. And then, you know, the whole statin category may be responsible for, what, $10 billion worth of Medicare expenditures. Advair for asthma, number two. A little bit of a surprise. I didn't know that many people were taking Advair. 1.5 million people for a grand total of $2.3 billion. And take a guess as to what the number one Medicare drug is. It is, fanfare, Nexium. Nexium, powerful acid-blocking drug. Not that great for the seniors who are taking it because it increases the risk for pneumonia, for C. difficile diarrhea, for irritable bowel syndrome, magnesium deficiency, and that's not great. $2.5 billion, $1.5 million people taking this medication. All right, so let's take a call now from Lori in New Hampshire. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I stumbled upon your show, and I'm happy I did. Hopefully I'll be able to listen to it again.
Great.
I'm 52. We have four children. I've raised my family naturopathically for my entire life and actually did health stuff on my own. When I was in high school, I became a vegetarian when it used to be that you had to combine your amino acids. I think the first book that I read was
Diet for a Small Planet by Francis Morlappe. Remember, you had to each meal was like a battle strategy. You had to have mix the methionine rich, the sulfur rich amino acids with the other, to get a complementary meal, the rice, the beans, the all together. Yeah, I remember those days.
It was a lot of work. But my question today is because I am very up on all of the the thing is that it's really a shame what the AMA and the drug companies and allopathic medicine has done to the Western civilized world, because they basically made us a bunch of druggies, which I will not partake in, nor will any of my family. We do everything naturally, and we do take, an NSAID if we need it, but I'd rather take Arnica, so we generally go that route.
Great.
But long story short, I could beat my drum forever. The thing that I really am frustrated...
You have a question, because let me take your question, and then we're going to save you for after the break, okay? What's the question?
Okay. The question is...
Quickly.
When you eat foods that raise your glycemic index, like carbs and sugars, if you are running or doing a cardiovascular exercise on a regular...
Does it mitigate that? Yeah, I'll address that question when we come back. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For years, you've relied on me to tell you about the latest and most effective natural products on the market. Leading the organic pest control industry, Cedarside has been creating natural solutions to insect infestations for nearly 20 years. Cedarside Original uses the natural power of cedar oil to kill and repel insects while remaining non-toxic for your family, pets, and the environment. This 100% organic insect spray from Cedarside.com is lab and real-world tested to kill bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more. Order some today. Go to cedarside.com and use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention my name, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The only pest control you'll ever need. Use Mother Nature to fight Mother Nature. Go online to cedarside.com or call now, 800-842-1464, Cedarside Original, for people, pets, and premises. Cedarside.com has the safe and effective pest control products you need for your family, pets, home, and yard.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And Lori from New Hampshire just called asking a question about the relationship between glycemic index and exercise. And unfortunately, she hung up. I guess she's listening. But I think this is what she was. First, let's explain what the glycemic index is. And we actually have a nice article at drhoffman.com on our homepage about what is the GI and what is the GL, the glycemic index versus the glycemic load. And glycemic index basically is, and I talked about it in relationship to colon cancer just now, is the rate at which the carbohydrate in a food hits your system and produces a blood sugar response and a corresponding insulin response. So an example of something that hits your system pretty fast is a can of soda. Boom. You know, it goes, it's liquid, goes into your system quickly. The sugar is absorbed very quickly. Your blood sugar spikes high. You might get a counter-regulatory hypoglycemic reaction. This is something we see when we do our glucose tolerance test because we give a high glycemic index challenge to people in our lab. And we watch the blood sugar skyrocket and then sometimes plummet. And if you don't handle the sugar very well, the blood sugar will stay high for too long. That's in a pre-diabetic mode. There's a lot of ways you can analyze that blood sugar response curve that give you insight into a person's metabolism looking at insulin and glucose. All right, so a high glycemic index food, that's an example of a high glycemic index. But what's a low glycemic index food? Possibly a carrot or something like that, which has a fair amount of carbohydrates, but it's got a lot of fiber, so the sugar in the carrot is released relatively slowly. Now, if you turn it into carrot juice, it's going to be a liquid. It's going to go down much faster. The sugar is released faster. It could actually become higher glycemic index. Okay, so what's the relationship between exercise and that? Well, it's important because a lot of people like to take something before a race, especially a long race. And it is thought you want to take something like exceptionally sugary to send your blood sugar through the roof. And that may be counterproductive because you may induce hypoglycemia within a few minutes of beginning your exercise. Also, if you use a low glycemic index food, you may actually help to increase the concentration of fatty acids in the blood, which can be used as fuel. And so the idea is that this may impact performance. It probably doesn't matter that much because during high levels of athletic performance, insulin plays less of a role than it does if you're sedentary. And so is there a possibility that exercise can attenuate the effects of sugar on your body? Yes, for sure, because to the extent that you've got insulin resistance and you exercise a lot, you may have the very self-same diet and still not develop elevated blood sugar, abdominal fat, hypertension, high levels of triglycerides. The exercise may mitigate the effects of a high glycemic index diet. But, you know, we're getting away from this carbo-loading thing where people take, tons and tons of sugar before exercise to stoke their performance. More and more athletes are turning towards kind of a paleo regimen. But of course, for long events like an Ironman triathlon, you gotta, eat and take in simple carbohydrates during that process because your muscle glycogen gets depleted after about 2 or 3 hours of exertion, and then you bonk, you hit the wall. So you need a high glycemic index beverage or maybe some kind of goop. They call it goop. You know, it comes in little foil packages. Cyclists sometimes use that kind of stuff to give them, that extra, that second, the second wind that they require after they burn up their stored glycogen. All right, 888-302-3684. And here's a very interesting article because there's multiple sclerosis, tough to treat. There are drugs for relapsing, remitting multiple sclerosis. But there are no effective drugs for progressive MS. So I read with interest about the introduction of a new experimental drug, not yet available. It's called MD-1003 from a small boutique-y startup pharmaceutical company called MedDay. And so I'm reading about this. What is this new drug? It turns out to be a highly concentrated pharmaceutical-grade biotin. Biotin, a B vitamin that you find in multivitamins. You find them in B-complex. And it's good for hair and nails. That much we know. But the highest concentration of biotin that's commercially available is about 3 to 5 milligrams. That's 3 to 5,000 micrograms. And we use that for hair and nails. and it has something to do with collagen formation and repair. In this study, they treated these patients with an average of 300 milligrams of biotin per day. Now you see why it's a drug, because you want to run to the health food store and treat your progressive MS with us, you'd have to take 60 biotins a day, 65 milligram biotins. That's going to be kind of tough to do. But check it out. In this study, 22% of patients had a significant improvement on what's called the expanded disability status scale, which measures the degree of walking difficulties, functional difficulties that people with MS have. So that's pretty good. It was non-toxic, well-tolerated, and it's now in stage 3 investigational status with the FDA. And it may soon be released as a drug. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, because even though it's not, you know, you're not going to be able to go to a health food store and buy this stuff because it's much too concentrated, it's very interesting that a super high concentrate of a natural vitamin has such potent effects in slowing down the most dread form of MS. So look for, I mean, I don't, this may not, it's just on the launching pad. This may not achieve FDA approval. But those of you in the MS community with progressive MS and doctors like me who treat MS, we're anxiously awaiting the results of future trials of this new investigational drug, biotin, for progressive MS. Very cool. Very cool. All right. So this item is interesting because we talk about global warming, climate change, and so on. So, you know, there's a lot of debate about that. But one thing for sure is the effects of pollution are devastating on our health. Whether or not you believe that the earth is warming up, you know, you can join that debate, or you can focus on the immediate concern, which is that we live in a polluted environment. And I think that's settled science, if not climate change or global warming. Our environment is too polluted. All right, this is from Columbia. Toxic combination of air pollution and poverty lowers child IQ. So they focus on a type of pollutant called PAH, which are hydrocarbon byproducts from motor vehicles, oil, even tobacco smoke, home heating. Higher levels of PAH in the blood are associated with lower IQ scores in children. Okay? So this is a big, also recent study showed they're associated with autism. So pollution has a devastating effect on our kids. What about older adults? Headline, smog may be damaging your brain. Scientists have long linked air pollution to lung problems, but they were surprised to find that it actually shrinks your brain as well. The study done at Harvard, long-term exposure to tiny particles of air pollution could result in changes in the brain that could lead to memory problems or even dementia. These tiny particles are invisible, but you breathe them, and they create chronic inflammatory changes, not just in the lungs, but also they make their way to the brain where they damage the brain, and they cause it literally to shrink. So let's get behind efforts to keep our environment clean, whether or not we invoke the global warming argument, because it's vital to our health. And God knows what they're doing to their health in China, because there's virtually no environmental controls. It's wide, rampant, like 19th century capitalism was in America before the FDA, the EPA. They're just destroying their future in the name of progress. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. This is Intelligent Medicine.
In 1998, the Nobel Prize in Medicine was awarded to three scientists who discovered nitric oxide's effects on the body to keep our arteries wide and flexible. And it's the nitrates found in beets that convert to nitric oxide and help boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I've found that Super Beets is the easiest way to get these natural benefits. I take Super Beets every day. I can feel the energy it gives me within 20 minutes. And you can feel it too. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeats.com. 800-738-2198 or intelligentbeats.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order and is backed by a money-back guarantee. Also receive a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results, guaranteed, or your money back. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeats.com.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provide proper intestinal balance, which goes way beyond optimizing digestion. It has a profound impact on virtually every system of the body. I'm an early adopter of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. I personally take them every day, and I've been recommending them to my patients for over 10 years. I've long extolled the benefits of probiotics. A frequent focus of my health programs and wellness articles is the importance of the gut to overall health. I believe in Dr. O'Hara's because they combine a wide spectrum of beneficial bacteria with prebiotics that help the good bacteria establish a foothold in your GI tract. They're easy to take, well-tolerated, and convenient. They don't need refrigeration. Dr. O'Hara takes the centuries-long Japanese tradition of creating expert probiotic foods to the next level. They're the next generation of probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Our goal is to go to Mars by the year 2025, and it looks like it's a technological possibility. I mean, after all, we got to the moon, decades and decades ago, so why in the world haven't we yet tackled the next close neighbor in our solar system, Mars? It's been an object of fascination in the sky for millennia. And now we have the capability of sending roving vehicles to photograph the surface of Mars. It looks like, you look at the pictures and it looks like, oh my goodness, it's like I'm standing in the Mojave Desert. It looks like they're so realistic, like you're standing on the plane of Mars. But the real obstacle may not be technological in terms of rocketry. It may be limitations of human biology. Because according to a new article, there's a chance that after getting to Mars, landing there, astronauts will turn to each other and say something like this: I forgot where I put the keys to our Mars rover vehicle. Did you happen to see them? Because even a short trip, a trip that might last a year to get there, might cause enough brain damage to cause significant dementia. According to this new article, astronauts could develop irreversible dementia on their journey because their brains are being bombarded with destructive space radiation. You see, we're protected from the space radiation by the Earth's atmosphere, but once in outer space, there are tiny supercharged particles, cosmic rays, that can cause significant damage to especially the delicate brain. So this is a big problem. And they're trying to think, what can they do? Because it's going to take between 150 and 300 days to reach the red planet. And that amount of time in space could subject humans to enough radiation to damage their brains. How do they know this? Rats were exposed to ionized oxygen and titanium radiation. And they found that exposure to these particles resulted in brain inflammation. And the result was decreased performance on learning and memory tasks. They negotiated mazes with less proficiency after being exposed to these rays. There's a concern, too, that space may make astronauts infertile. And there's also issues with vision that occur. Hearing and sight loss is common in astronauts who spend a lot of time in space. Vision problems develop in 29% of those on two-week missions and 60% of those who spent several months on the International Space Station. Astronauts are at greater risk of kidney stones, even if they don't drink tea in space, because of microgravity. And they also get dehydrated easily in that ultra-dry environment in a space capsule, because moisture in a space capsule just sticks on the walls. So it's dry, desert-like. They become dehydrated. So what are they trying to do about this? Well, they're trying to shield the astronauts. Maybe they could create some shielding at areas where astronauts rest and sleep, not the entire spacecraft, but maybe like a lead-enclosed bed chamber that might help. But then, you know, the cost and of the fuel to launch such a heavy spacecraft would be astronomical. The other thing they're working on, and this could be the equivalent of, you know, they developed Tang, NASA, and all kinds of innovations. They're working on pharmacological strategies involving compounds that scavenge free radicals and protect neurotransmission in the brain. That could be cool. Super antioxidants that could be taken to protect against the effects of radiation. Imagine if you took those just as an anti-aging strategy to prevent brain inflammation and deterioration. That might be pretty cool. I wonder if they're working on use of specific vitamins, alpha-lipoic acid, for example, N-acetylcysteine, glutathione, pycnogenol, curcumin. These are some of the things that come to mind in terms of brain-protective nutrients. But maybe they're trying to reach for more high-tech solutions even than that. All right. Apple has introduced its iWatch, and you can order it, but it hasn't yet appeared in stores. However, there's a new unanticipated problem. You wear it on your wrist, of course. And it turns out that some of the functions on the new smartwatch may not work properly if it's worn over a tattoo. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of young folks who might want to get an iWatch. But unfortunately, their wrists are adorned with tattoos. And dark-colored artwork can fool the light sensors on the back of the watch. And they have not yet solved this sensor problem. They say on a support page on their website, quote, permanent or temporary changes to your skin, such as some tattoos, can impact heart rate sensor performance. Some of these trendy folks wearing tattoos, they might have blown their chance at wearing a smart watch. All right, we're talking about ways to mess up your brain. Turns out that spaceflight can mess up your brain. What are ways to protect your brain? Well, years and years ago, I came up with something entitled the salad and salmon diet. It's a close approximation to the Mediterranean diet. According to a new study, a Mediterranean diet is linked to larger brain volume. Pollution may shrink the brain, but conversely, adherence to a Mediterranean diet, a.k.a. the salad and salmon diet, you can check it out at drhoffman.com. We've got a whole section on diet. These findings were presented at the American Academy of Neurology 67th annual meeting. The study looked at a lot of individuals over 65, nearly 700, and they underwent MRIs and diet questionnaires. And what they found was that there was a high correlation between certain components of the Mediterranean diet, particularly higher fish intake. Higher fish intake was associated with larger amounts of gray matter and other components of the Mediterranean diet, lots of beneficial polyphenols from fruits and vegetables, less in the way of refined foods. These contribute to brain preservation. So you want to preserve your brain, go for Mediterranean-type diet. All right, the question often arises, is soy bad for breast cancer? And a couple of studies shed some light on it. First of all, you know, a lot of people, a lot of women in particular, take soy for menopausal symptoms. According to a new study, increasing dietary soy can improve blood pressure and postmenopausal symptoms. Subjects in an experimental group were given a supplement of 33 grams of soy in the form of biscuits that contained 54 milligrams of isoflavones for a period of 8 weeks. And what they found was their symptoms were better, their hormones were better, and they had some relief from menopausal symptoms, about a 25% reduction in menopausal symptoms. So clearly, and that may have something to do with the fact that in Asia, women report less in the way of menopausal symptoms, subjectively less in the way of hot flashes, sleep disruptions, and so on. Menopause is not such a big deal culturally in Asia as it is here, where it's actually, you know, certainly the basis for marketing lots of pharmaceutical drugs to women. But can this high isoflavone intake increase breast cancer growth? And a new study has kind of, plus minus results on that. The study shows that they gave high levels of isoflavones to women. And then they looked at the chemistry that is associated with breast cancer risk. And they found that even with a short exposure to high isoflavone intake, there were unfavorable changes that might have breast cancer promoting effects. So the bottom line, and most people, the author of this study, and I agree with this, says that moderate amounts of soy should not be a problem if you are trying to prevent breast cancer. But if you've had breast cancer, perhaps it might be advisable to minimize soy intake. Just don't take high potency isoflavone supplements. Those might somewhat increase your chance of breast cancer or breast cancer recurrence. But certainly, soy has a dual effect. It may reduce menopausal symptoms, but at the slight risk of increasing breast cancer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us for this hour. Lots more coming up in hour two of Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.